NFR Extra is a weekly podcast that focuses on the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo and features icons that embody the rodeo and Western lifestyle.
NFR Extra, we are moving on, and I can't believe we made it through the 2019 season, made it all the way to the NFR. Robbie, you joined us midway. Triple B, you came midway.
Yeah, what an adventure this has been. So many, and I've got to tell you, out on the road, thank you to everybody who comes up and says, hey, man, I'm listening to NFR Extra now, you know, and I think, and I'll say this, I think a lot of them get their late night humor from rumping those guys over there. And then they come to us for the information. It's always funny. They always tease me about the, when I say adult version, the grown up version of these two podcasts, you know, and I'm so proud to be part of this. And thank you. Hopefully I've passed my 10 week.
Well, you're sitting here in 2020.
So okay.
Something pretty good.
It has been the greatest experience. and this, you know, and now this year we're going to do weekly instead of.
That's right.
I never understood bi-weekly. When you say that, is that twice a week or is that every 2 weeks?
See, and if you wanted to, you could lean on that. And then when you distribute stuff, like, well, we're bi-weekly. And that's where you can spread it out a little bit. And
sure.
And if you're fishing, you can say we're every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does get confusing.
Yeah, but now.
Weekly's
no confusing.
Not confusing. No,
it's not. We're going to give you every week, we're going to give you something. You guys are traveling down the road, you rodeo fans that are not rodeoing. You guys that are, please keep listening. If send those comments in. That is so important to us. And, you know, you're not going to hurt our feelings.
And the artists that we have lined up, the contestants, the everybody that we're bringing on this show is going to be very similar to what we did in 2019. It's a 360 view of this rodeo business.
Yeah.
It could be stock contractors. It could be country music artists. It could be
casino owners. I mean,
coaches.
Yeah, we interviewed a chef.
Horse people.
By the way, I went there for the autographs, and it was amazing, the food there.
Chef Craig?
Yeah, Chef Craig was so cool. He should be King Craig.
Yeah, but I mean, so think about that journey, 2019. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to 2019 Wrangler NFR, where we went daily.
Oh, man, and that was so cool, being in that trailer and actually face-to-face with those guys. And
there was quite a few heavy hitters that we got to sit down with, and they're very emotional, very informative.
Yeah, that was the main comment I got, was the guys were saying, they're like sitting at a bar with you guys just talking, because I'm sure podcasts are new, you know, and it takes a little bit to get used to that. It's not a 4-minute interview off a radio. I mean, they're pouring their hearts out.
Sit back and relax.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
So with that, I mean, we started off, what, day one?
Yeah, right? Speaking of heavy hitters, remember they tried our trailer out pretty well, didn't they?
Yeah, so we had Oatberry, right, a legend at the NFR and rodeo, et cetera, and then obviously Casey Jones. What two different folks, right, in the business, but at the same thing of what we learned from there was, you know, Casey, who we had on several times through the year, man, I mean, what he's doing for rodeo, you can see it, right? Everything he does, you're going to notice.
Yeah, social media genius. I mean, he really is, and he has taken it from a time to where we didn't have social media to now, I mean.
Well, look what he's doing with it, right? You got rodeo guests.
Yes.
You know, Casey's trying to get his foot in the door to get more interactive with the Cowboys, with the fans. Mm-hmm. It's all just to keep us educated and keep us close to rodeo. Right?
Absolutely.
And then pro fantasy, what can you say about that? I mean, I love that. I mean, I'm a fantasy football guy.
Yeah, that starts fist fights.
Yes. But it's worth, I mean, it's growing.
Sure.
And to his point, you know, he started off slow and, you know, now here he is and it's growing. I can't say much about what else he's got going on, because I know 2020 is probably a pretty cool looking year for him.
Rylan, do you know anything he's doing? Can you give up any information about Casey?
Top secret. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. It'll come out. I if anything, from what I understand, he's going to probably make what he did in 2019 better in 2020.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, no reason to add anything. If you think about rodeo guests, you know, there was the components he shared with us on that the whole bringing in the chat format, bringing in
buddy
more
groups,
interactive.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, to get people all in part of this process of like being more fandom of the rodeo, right? Then look at Oat. My goodness.
Wow.
I mean, if I wish my kid was into steer wrestling, because I'd gear him that way to try and get a scholarship to go to college. And
absolutely. And what a mentor. I mean, just a good guy. He's a big old teddy bear.
Big guy.
Yeah, thank goodness he's nice, because he could have used me to whoop you with, and that's what scares me.
But think about this. If you go back to that episode.
Yes, sir.
What are the couple of things we were doing? We were talking about 35 years. And he kicked it off, because if you remember, we were talking about the stories. And, man, I first of all, I didn't know that about Oat. Didn't know, you know, how he got his run and how he had to hitchhike and just how he had to get started.
Yeah, and even practicing for the size of the arena, remember? Because from Oklahoma.
Yep.
And they're used to these...
wide open range.
Yeah, right? And I mean, you're steer wrestling in a size of Sydney, Iowa, or a Pendleton, you know, and they have to go into a cracker box pretty much. I was so interested in hearing him talk about
that. Well, the timing. I think, without him saying it, it also added to the evolution of the sport. Because once you put your Super Bowl in that arena, all of a sudden the timing of things changed. I mean, you had to get faster, you had to get quicker. Everything you were doing was faster, right? Speed kills. And he was talking a lot about that for as big as he is and whatever. I mean, obviously he had to get faster once he got in the room.
Yeah.
And he didn't skip a beat.
No. What a great interview.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously we rolled on through to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, this episode. I mean, Alan Jordan and Alexis Bloomer.
You know, it's so cool having
that out of the air, those two, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so cool having a judge who was an actual rough stock rider. You know what I mean? You just get a different respect. And Alan was one of the great ones. You know, he rode some really great bulls.
Yep.
You know, and what I really enjoyed about him was that we talked about his protection of the animals. You know, I thought that was so amazing. He's there to protect. You know, and I heard that one time about a judge saying that judges are there to protect last night's run.
Yep.
And the animals, you know, and that made a lot of sense to me when even Butch Kirby explained that one time, and even Alan, they were like, I'm here to protect the run that you depend on me to protect, that it's done right. Yep. Now, if it beats you, that's fair and square. However, I'm here to protect the right way it was done for a 5-9.
Yeah. Okay. So on top of that, what was even cool, at least I thought it was cool, was, you know, the judges from rodeo breaking down these walls and meeting other people outside in different sports.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when they're going to
NFL. Right?
You remember he was talking about NFL?
Yeah, he made a trip to the NFL and actually went to their judging seminar.
So,
really, the referee seminar. Exactly.
But what what he laid down for was to, and this is where if you talk about bronc riders and you talk about bull riders and you talk about the different disciplines and their mindset and how they see things. I never even thought about this until Alan brought it, but like the way football looks at things like as a line, as opposed to rodeo sees as a 360.
Right.
And how they judge that. It was pretty fascinating. Never even thought that, you know, I don't think we're going to. I'm curious what NFL thinks about rodeo. Like, we're not going to do that. But until he brought it up, made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And what it
tells me. What a tough job, too. Yeah. I mean, I had a choice between a rodeo clown and judge, and you know what I am.
I don't want to be a judge in anything unless I'm on the Supreme Court.
And I've had to actually... You know, I've had to judge before, and to see how tough it is, like bullfights, Blue or somebody will call, hey, man, we need you to judge this one since I'm from a herd or something.
Yeah.
And I'm used to protecting these guys. I'm not used to deciding who wins money.
But then we've flipped the field.
Went from
right?
Ugly Allen to
Alexis Bloomer.
Alexis. We've had a good week with the Bloomers.
Oh, yeah, we did. You know, she started it off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if anything you find about Alexis, you know, and here's someone in the spot like this, I think it got more like... You know, having a daughter, Triple B being a daughter. I think what was interesting about that was that take home of the life that she lives, right? And the presentation that we see isn't everything, right? And behind the scenes is what she shared, right? Triple B, I mean, like it was a...
Oh, absolutely. She went into details of her three books now.
Yep.
She has a mystery book, a girl's guide to life kind of book, and then a kid's kindness is key book, which was absolutely crazy.
What about bowling, though? I mean, like, think about that. She was expressed, like, these are things expression of what she was growing up with and dealing with.
The fashion, the high school, Mean Girls.
Instead of tucking away in a corner and disappearing, she's like, no, I'm going to try and create a bigger network to let people know that, you know, yeah, while the exterior looks awesome, hey, I'm going through the same things you have been through.
Absolutely. And, what a pillar. I mean, she's awesome, and she's got a pretty cool boyfriend, too.
Slightly. You know, she gets to hang out with.
Sorry. Fiance.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because we had brought that up and she avoided it and, you know, Sage obviously didn't. And now here we go.
She's still scared of Randy. You remember that? And we'll get into that in a minute.
Absolutely. So then, you know, we rolled on to the next day and this is where things start to get.
Yeah.
Right. Like we
this
start
changed
in,
it for me and this whole thing. I understood
exterior talking of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're not thinking that the guest that we're getting ready to bring on could change anything, but that was farther from the truth. Right. So yeah. here we had, this was, we did this one on that Sunday, December 8th, right? What are we, what is that? We always call that, that's Cowboy Night, right? That's Memorial Night.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that night and some special things go on, our boy Charlie Daniels does a piece and et cetera, et cetera, right? Well, we bring on Tuff Edelman, right? And I, you know, I don't know the guy. I've met him like a couple times.
Right.
And not sure what to expect with the conversation.
No, I don't think you did expect that. I sort of did just because I've worked with him for, you know, 15 years. And, but no, I'm not going to say I did expect what we got out of him. I mean, he...
I felt like Dr. Phil was in the room.
Yeah. You have to crack that shell with a sledgehammer. And, man, just some of the stuff. And, you know, it wasn't the only typical Lane. You know, Lane was good bull rider. He wrote this.
He had some stuff to share.
You know,
if anything we learned from that interview is that if we stick around and hang around long enough with somebody that maybe doesn't like to talk too much, but they have a lot to share, you just got to be patient.
Absolutely. I mean, and when he dove off into his injuries and the way that Michael took care of him, Michael Gaughan took care of him, jetted him, and that kind of stuff, you know.
I thought about this, too.
And it wasn't even the Bodacious injury. It was, but the other one that we hardly knew about.
He had plenty of injuries, right? I think that what it started telling me about Vegas and the Cowboy, and I think for me it started with Tuff, at least from this conversation, kind of exploded from other conversations. But the Tuff was talking about how Mr. Gong took care of him, right?
Oh,
the thing I keep thinking about that is that if every cowboy coming here knows that they got someone that will take care of them, doesn't it make your confidence in everything you do here a lot better?
Yeah, I'm not going to die on a street corner here. Yeah. I mean,
because I'm sure that could happen in other rodeos across the country. You know, good luck on finding a hospital, right?
Yeah. Trust me. Yeah. But, I mean, just the way, and he, did you notice that everything, all his success and everything, of course, not, I'm not talking about bull riding. I'm talking about his business success and his getting help and stuff.
Yep.
Was thanks to Michael Gaughan and this town and the Binion. You know, I mean,
but look how things turn full circle, right? What's Tuff doing? He's bringing an event to Michael Gong's place now. That shows you the return on receipt in life, right?
And he does that just because he says, I always want you to come do a deal here.
The thing that still blows my mind about that conversation, he walked per vatim his injury with Bodacious after it happened, right?
When he says I could feel my nose wasn't there.
And sitting on the gurney and watching the TV and his face isn't there. I don't know. I was just trying to I remember seeing the pictures and I'm trying to think of this guy is remembering consciously everything that happened. It was like,
dude, oh yeah, that's when we were talking about this knocked me out.
Exactly. I'd rather sleep.
I know. But that was I think we had more response from that interview because I think they thought it was going to be the old tough, but it wasn't.
No way.
It was pretty good. And that's you. A lot of that's you. Digging it out of them, kiddo.
It's Catherine Merck who we had next. So that was the one that, you know, once again, that was a unique episode because here we talked to Tuff, didn't know what to expect, but we got everything that we wanted. And we talked to Catherine who, you know, the rodeo queen, all these things that happen in the business. Here's somebody who really doesn't fit that mold, but set the mold. And here she is. She comes from Christmas ornaments, right? But then she plays rugby. She rides Bronx, right? What
now
else?
Now she's a lawyer in three states.
Yes, I am.
And she really sets a bar for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when people say, oh, well, I'm going to save sea turtles and things like that, like, Catherine was like, you know, I ain't got time to save sea turtles because I'm doing a lot more everywhere, saving a lot of other things.
Not world peace. She's
more realistic, you know, and great interview. And think about, you know, her business and what she's done with it and where she's at. I'd say that any gal that's listening to the podcast, go back and listen to that because if you're wanting to be one of these rodeo queens, I would take the Catherine Merck route.
Yeah, I will definitely. Boy, she's tough, isn't she? She's non-typical. I mean, that's what's great. She's punchy.
Well,
very punchy.
I wouldn't want to punch her. Like, she would punch hard back.
And I wouldn't.
She's got a jaw of steel.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's true. Yes, she had reconstructive surgery.
Well, it worked.
Oh yeah,
the tough surgery.
Yeah, she had. Yeah, in fact, what was funny about that episode, and we didn't plan it out this way. It was just happened that way. They both had the same surgeries because of the same injuries.
For her jaw.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. She didn't walk us through her injury, though.
No.
Right, she didn't.
But she didn't tell Tuff.
Yeah.
She has the Tuff smile.
Yeah.
Well, and then, Okay, so then the next day, right? This is hump day, right? Everyone that works in the NFR in the 10 days, yeah. You know what hump day is. And typically hump day is pink night, right?
Yep.
So, and there's a lot of other things that go on for us from an LVE standpoint. You know, we have exceptional rodeo, mm-hmm. Junior World Finals are wrapping up their first front end of the
Rough Stock.
Yep, and we had finished that. Yeah, and we got to visit with
that. That was on one Monday, right?
Yep.
Crowning some world champs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot and future, hopefully, NFR champs,
those
right?
Kids, isn't that so amazing?
Collecting those big checks.
Shows you there's hope for the next gen.
There's plenty of hope out there, right? You don't even got to sell it. And here's so that day, we got to sit down with John Growney.
Yep.
Man, I love meeting people in this business has been one of the gifts that I get
in this podcast. I hope it is because, you know, I get to be around these guys a lot. Yeah. And then when I entered, it's almost like I'm introducing you. Hey, this is my friend, MD. Yeah. Talk to him about rodeo. And you pick up on that very well. And, well, but this guy, holy cow.
I think when you hear names, you've been in the business, or like, for instance, myself, you know, I'm behind the scenes. I work on the production side, the social side, the digital, whatever it is, for LVE and the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd heard a Grownie's name a lot. And I used to put the Grownies together, right? Like, you know, we got our boy Grownie over at South Point, and then I'm hearing this Grownie. Well, then when they told the story.
Yeah, they're kinfolks.
Yeah, they're all connected, right?
And it's so funny to hear Ryan tell the story.
Yes.
You know, John says, well, I paid him way too much. And Ryan's like, he liked to broke me.
Yeah. But when you, once again, this Michael Gong extension, things like that. I'm fascinated by the rodeo business and how well people take care of each other. But man, Grownie took us down a level that was, first of all, he started with the whole piece that, as I being an outsider looking in, I grew up on, right? The George Michael Sports Machine. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, you know, these famous bulls and these matchups and things that he was doing in the 80s. And then he was very passionate about, like, kind of laying that law. And I think we're going to revisit that kind of concept of what he was talking about sometime over this year. But this concept of how we change rodeos or how we promote them or how we
challenges
and that kind
of thing. And I don't mean like the general term, the challenges. I'm talking about this guy against that guy.
And that bull and this bull.
Can he ride him?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the main thing that got me more than anything with that was the Lane stories. Was that when he would say, hey, you could see Lane across the arena, and he'd be like, hey, John, you know.
But he shared one that he hadn't shared.
I'm going to tell you what, that was heartbreak. You know, that is the episode, and we've done, 30 now together? I've probably listened to the John Grownie interview seven or eight times just to make sure I didn't miss something. That's how good that was. But when he talks about being there right after it happened to Lane and the boys are all together and he's getting on them about not waving at these guys. Yeah.
Whose job was it?
Yeah, and that's what he said. He said, that's Lane's job. You know, you got to hear that, guys. I mean, it's not, and sometimes the Lane Frost thing gets corny. You know,
it just becomes overused.
Overproduced, overused, over-engineered. But to hear him talk about, guys, these little kids are over here, and they're like, I don't want to talk to any little kids right now. That was Lane's job to talk to them kids. And then, you know, and it took them a while.
But, this is the thing I kept thinking about. Everything that I think about Lane, and that was, by the way, that when we were talking to him, there's a bunch of things that we talked about and how they changed the sport. If you remember correctly, we talked about what happened, and he didn't, he got a little like a Jesus on us, right?
Just a tad little Jesus on us.
But you know, why not?
But hey, it was not a preaching. It was just.
No, totally. It was an analogy, right? So, and he did the same thing for your boy, right? Your NASCAR.
Yeah, but Dale,
What happened after both of these iconic guys died?
They changed lives.
Yeah.
They changed lives.
Started wearing vests, and you started, I don't even know NASCAR. What the hell
is Hans DeVice.
Yes, there you go.
Hans DeVice.
But those things.
Close face helmets.
Yes. What happened? Yep. Now we're living. We're
one guy sacrifice saves how many? You know, I've seen them knock the wall down. I've seen guys get stomped.
Yep.
So many times, but it did. It changed.
Absolutely. But what about our other guy? So that was Brad.
Yeah, old Brad.
Jermison.
Did you learn a lot about bronc riding that day? Did you or not? Golly,
I still can't get over how much I learned about saddle bronc through those 10 days.
Yeah. No X and three.
Yeah,
somebody, one of these bronc riders is going to come up.
Don't choke up, man.
That's right.
You'd be falling out.
I can see you coming to the rodeos this summer with me, and they'll be like, "What do you think I ought to take on this one?"
You don't want
just
that guy
say
X that, like,
and
has
three.
Become a crazy fan about something that doesn't live the business, or like get that dude out of the room. Like,
but have you ever noticed the more you learn about a sport, the more interested you are?
You start to care.
Yeah, that's the whole deal, and that's hopefully what this is doing. And you know, some of the interviews we're going to do are going to be more. you know, outgoing people. And then we got some in this business that are the contestant part of it. And that's what I enjoy so much. And with Brad, that's what we got. You know, we got the, you know, we got to talk about the Mean Bronx and, yep. and did you ever get on this one and that one? I don't want to give it away, but he told us about some cool stories, you know, about some 80s Bronx that were,
well, and
made me rodeo.
Reflect this to anybody that listens to this podcast and grew up during the times of Oklahoma to Vegas. A lot of these guys that we brought on during this run, we talked a lot about that kind of that transitional fun of how everything changed, how the whole business changed. Brad was one of them. Oatberry, take your pick. You know, they were all part of this. Crowney talked about it.
Yep, and that changed the whole deal. And then...
Oh, man, yeah, so...
About the time it came, I mean, we're thinking, God, we got some great guys on here. Whammy.
Well, so here we are kind of knocking out the park with guys like... I mean, everyone that we had on, but, you know...
Sure.
I think these interviews started going much longer, right?
Oh, yeah, trust me, we were getting the old... Brian, what are they... I'm doing the role thing, you know?
Joe Beaver, right?
Wow, golly. What a genius. And we cut up. The funniest thing I remember about that whole thing is we were betting on, you remember, because everybody said, now I talked to so-and-so last night, and how long did he wait? Oh, and I told him, I said, you got to say, hey, Hodges, we just bought dinner for everybody.
So, you know. Yeah, okay, so Joe, you know, we had Joe on before, mm-hmm. and it was fun. But this was a different Joe.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
This was a Joe that, if anything, I realized with this microphone and these mm-hmm. conversations, once someone feels comfortable... Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Just let them talk.
You're a bartender then. Yeah. And I love that. And I didn't realize, you know, when you think of a Joe Beaver, the house here, Thomas and Mac, that he built and how great he was, he didn't start out rich.
No.
He didn't know he was in the top 20. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, he started out kind of the same way I did in the IPRA days and taking, you know, going to these jackpots and stuff. And look what, you know, I love. That's why I was such a fan of, like, I hate to go back to NASCAR, but, like, with Earnhardt and them, those guys didn't start out with a rich dad. You know, his dad.
Those champions don't, I don't think.
You know,
so.
You're right. I mean, but, boy, he's the epitome of that. I mean, he started out, and then the next thing you know, he's one of the GOATs.
Yeah, and he's been through some stuff. And so that kind of that sharing of where he was and these runs.
Yeah.
You know, while he was doing things weren't great. Right.
No, and I mean, talk about dying and coming back, and yep. I mean, he did. I mean, yes. They thumped him up.
Yeah, know? I mean, so
Joe's lived a less than, you know. I mean, he's eventful. Let's just say that. I don't want to give everything
that
away.
That was an event in itself for sure.
Yeah.
Then we roll into the next day.
Right? Oh, the greatest.
Well, so we get to talk to a guy, and you know what's funny, man? I knew Kenny, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew Kenny personally. And so for me with Kenny, I got to tell you, I can't even, for the life of me, I didn't know Kenny Pettit's story. Like, I didn't know where he came from. I had worked with him for a good 12, 13 years at the NFR.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Kenny, like, what his. So to hear that story, where he came from, and to start to understand, there seems like a birthplace, right?
Right.
For rodeo. With your boy Donnie Gay and everybody.
Yeah, oh, at Mesquite.
Yes.
And just like, where just, he started in wagons. And one of my favorite things is, and I always try to do this, is tell him how proud I am of him, because my year at the NFR, as busy as he was, he stopped what he was doing. And well, his job, you know, Buck told him, or Sean Davis, we call him Buck if you know him, but he says, your job is to keep that hillbilly in line. And it wasn't easy because, you know, I was having a good time out here.
So, and remember, okay, everyone, if anybody is listening right now and you wonder who Kenny is attached to Whiplash.
Yeah, the cowboy monkey.
And, I mean, I've gotten to meet Whiplash personally in the production room. That mm-hmm. He's a great, I don't want to say he's great. I don't want to say whether he's a great monkey. Like, I know a lot of monkeys, but he's a great monkey, right?
Yeah, I mean, as far as monkey goes, he's a champion.
But Kenny didn't want him, right? And that story of how he got the monkey.
Yeah, it was kind of thrown under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now his success is attached to that. But, look, it was definitely one of the more highly downloaded episodes.
I know. And if you've ever seen that, it's so funny. And I like talking about the room. Well, last time I seen that monkey went under a trailer with that dog on it, you know. there's so many cliches about that whole.
Oh.
I tell you, Kenny is, he's the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. No joke.
There's not one part of this business that he hasn't done. Probably not announced, but I'll guarantee somewhere he's had a mic in his hand for it.
And if you know or like or stories of Mesquite, Neil Gay.
Oh, wow.
His story, and I don't, like, his story of, like, meeting Neil Gay, it just reminds me of the rodeo world, and definitely the old school world, mm-hmm. of, like, just the, kind of the silence and the, you know, expectations of right. things and whatever it was. But then, you know, we roll on to the next day, and the next day had, like, this two different energies, right, this episode. And I still, you know, and this was, where were we at, Wednesday, December 11th on this one? Once again, we were going daily. We were cranking through these things. But as I, and I brought it up because I'm a geek about this stuff, but I grew up loving the movie Young Guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up on Bon Jovi. So I'm not kidding. Up until I did the rodeo mm-hmm. In 1998 and then going forward, the only, when I would hear Billy Get Your Gun, I'd only hear Young Guns, right? And I'd think of the movie,
mm-hmm.
Emilio Estevez and all these guys. But now, after being part of the NFR past 20 years, whenever I hear Billy Get Your Gun, that's, Billy Epbauer is the first person I think of.
Absolutely, me too.
It's silly, but I mean, I'm just telling you from an NFR standpoint. That's, I mean, like.
Yeah, Billy, he brought bronc riding to a different level. He actually, because, and we've had this discussion before, bronc riders sometimes are the cool, calm guys. You know, they're on the same plane all the time of coolness, whether they're on the, you know, Killer Bee or whatever horse doesn't they're on matter. And they're worried, they're just at the same level. He brought bronc riding to be fun. You know, I mean, the fan base that he brought in the rodeo business, you know, and like at the NFR, Billy had 17,135 fans every night, except for one guy's mom that was in the bronc riding. He was the favorite, you know?
Nice guy, but I also, once you start to dig deeper into these guys' brains and their hearts, you mm-hmm. start to understand why they're a champion. You know, Billy was so disciplined, and the things that he does and what he was talking about. Obviously, you got to listen because we don't give it out here, and you got to hear Billy's from the horse's mouth, no pun. But
you ever noticed a lot of them guys wrestled? I was going to
bring that up because I think Billy would take us both down, man. I mean,
I know, and he's a little bitty wrestler. Fella. I know. He got carted to buy popsicles till he was 40, you know, but God, we got to talk to Billy. I can't believe when I'm looking at this sheet, I'm mm-hmm. thinking, I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I get to interview these amazing individuals and get to talk to them. Where sometimes, you know, you just chunk up your hand at them on the arena floor or somewhere. You know, we get to pass each other. And Joe and I talked about that even back mm-hmm. then. I never get to sit down and hear their story. Man, what's going on? Yeah. How's your week? Oh, good or bad. And that's all you get. And you're going to the next one, or I got to go in the saddle and get ready.
And a couple of things that, right, we kept talking about. These are themes that tradition, family, mm-hmm. Love. There's all these little words that you can attach to what if we pull out from every episode that would kind of define all this stuff. But then we got one of your guys, and the energy went like through the trailer. Right? With Mr. Smets.
Oh, wow. And what a great interview. And you know, Rob, and Rob's old hardcore now. He's tough.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, they don't call him, broke his neck three times, you know. And one of my favorite parts of that interview, and you won't be able to see this, so you'll have to imagine hearing. Rob is standing up, and he's run to the end of this damn microphone cord, or this headphone cord, and he's talking, and he's showing us, you know, like a cape move. I'm doing it right now. See, what a dummy. But it was so funny. Me like, now then what you got to do? You got to go over here, and then you got to take it over here. But you put this fake on him like this right now. Watch this fake, how I do this.
And remember, he was starting to break down, like, and I think as I learned mm-hmm. through those 10 days, he's one of the guys, minus one of the other guys we'll talk around down here, that set this tone for the world you live in, for the world that you love, and the world that I am way fascinated from a guy who liked extreme sports. It sounds like he started adding definition to this thing as it transferred into the 2000s. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And what it was is he's like, I'm doing this, so I'm going to start defining things and what you do, and then compare and contrast of, if you look at sports and the flow of a game,
mm-hmm.
you guys do the same thing with how the Bulls
break them down. I know. And, you know, and of course we divvied off into the world's greatest fighting bull, Crooked Nose, and how worried he was. And, you know, and you know what I really thought was interesting was, two great guys that we talked about on there was Miles Hare when he first worked with him, and they were ready to fist fight.
Yes.
And now they're best buddies. You know what I mean? Yep. They travel together and they judge together a lot now. And that first time it was two bulls. Remember, that's what they said, it's two bulls in the.
Well, so then that was that day. Then we go to the next day, right? And this is where, and this is an individual we've talked to before, and he's got quite a few gold buckles.
Oh, you know,
a few.
25.
Yeah, 25. And what's
Brisby
funny
is, thought he was okay. He's helping him, right?
But what was fun about this conversation, it wasn't your typical Trevor Brazil.
No, everything's good. I'm just here staying focused. I'm doing.
I gotta take the kids to school.
Yeah.
Oh, what about that? You know, and you know how many times I've thought about that when he said, "My best conversation, is taking my kids to school in the morning." And now
that is his favorite thing.
I know. And now you know. And I've been living at home there on the coast, and I'll take my son to baseball practice or basketball practice, or I'll take him. You know what I've learned? I don't necessarily get to do that, but we burn brush.
Yeah.
And I love to sit there and hear my son talk, and it comes back to Trevor and those boys and taking them to school.
Yeah. He's pulling a Mr. Mom. He's loving it.
You know what?
I mean,
shout out deserves it too, because I mean, he's been busier.
What, and he talked about rodeo moms.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about just, you know, now he's just enjoying things. Not that he didn't enjoy it, but I think to understand, and after those 10 days, I got a good concept of the championship mindset, what it is. And once you're in it, I don't think you're going to enjoy much things because you're so driven on that next day, next thing, next whatever you got to get. But once you release from that, which is what Trevor's doing now.
That's what he said. He said, I sat up there with my wife. It's the first time I ever got to do this. Just sat up and watched the show.
Well, we saw him. So we were at, you know, one of the lucky things we get to do, you know, this is if you're a Charlie Daniels fan, which we are. We get to go hang out with Charlie. Like when he comes and plays, we get to go hang out.
That's great. Yeah.
Literally in his, with his band. We get to go behind scenes.
Roger and everybody. Yeah.
It's a great time, right? So we're up there and, you know, myself, Michael Mack, Eric Berner, these are all guys from our office, right? Michael's, a lot of people know Michael, but we've been doing this probably for the past 5 years, right? We go hang out with them. Never seen anybody up there. But this time we're hanging up and who walks through? This dude in black. Like, oh, that's Trevor Brazil, and he is smiling, and he's taking pictures, and
he's know, earned it.
He could, exactly, and he couldn't. Hell yeah, he's earned it, and he enjoyed. You could tell how much he was just. It's my happy place, man.
Can you imagine how happy he is just sitting there with the kids and chatting? You know, just watching it. Hey, you know what? I don't have to go do this. Let's go to a concert. Yeah. You know, how many times have I been to this town? I've never got to go to a show. I can't wait till that day comes.
Now he gets to experience the NFR experience, which is he's always heard us talking about it.
Well,
now
he's caused a lot of the NFR experience. You know, people are here to see him, and now he's a fan.
What about David Motes? I mean, you know, granted, you know, you go from Trevor to David Motes, but once again, you know, you start talking to these guys, you start letting them warm up, get comfortable. And
I didn't know how, you know, I didn't know how much information that was going to be, but it was a lot with his boys, you know. Yeah. And golly.
Well, and that, so that's the other thing, right? Once again, theme, family, to hear a lot of these guys, I don't think it would be cool, man. I mean, my son and I, we have our relationship. I don't know where we'd have this glue to where we'd be able to do something, but it's cool to hear, you know, David talk about getting to, dude, really work with your son and, you know.
Oh, yeah, and then get to set up there in the gold buckle seats and watch it, you know.
And having one yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, when I think about rodeo and I think about the family and how much work goes into a daily life of a rodeo contestant, rancher, whatever it is, and to have that kind of caveat and to go into Christmas after that.
Well, I've always said this on most of my posts if I'm bragging about my daughter winning, you know, something, and she's been very successful. You're never any prouder than you'll be. It's not what you've done. It's what your kids have done, you know, that means the most. I mean, to me it does. And the way he was, you could just see it in his eyes. He smiled and loved it.
Very happy.
Yeah.
Then we went to the next Friday. So we're getting closer, right? We're almost done with this bad boy. And this is when, you know, once again, start adding some folks that are a little different than contestants.
Yeah, I'm glad we changed that up a little bit too.
And this one was, what I like about this, because I love the side of business, marketing, B2B, all the things that connect and kind of move our country in the way. I personally think that, like, a lot of people, they don't take it for granted, but I just think that it's just not got a lot of spotlight on it, right?
Yeah, bridge builders.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Building something instead of changing paperwork around or hedge funds. And I mean, this is an innovator.
I'm going to say Randy Bloomer is one of those guys.
Yeah, he is a bridge builder. He's a building builder.
Yeah.
You know, and to hear what he said about.
Don't give it away. Of how he started his business.
I know. No, I'm not going to. But just how he changed the industry with his.
But it gonna come back to he wasn't rich. He didn't have money.
No.
And he needed to change something because he knew it would make a better situation. Yep. He wasn't worried about making money.
When you hear it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But you know, the funniest thing was when I asked him, I said, where's old 00001? You know, and he said, well,
that
was. And all the way up to. You know, and he keeps getting, and he'll tell you about some celebrity folks that, that you know, when they're with their trailers and stuff like
that. Well, and it was in a trailer he modified for us, right? Our Bloomer studio for NFR Extra. I mean, we were in that.
Yeah.
That thing was plush.
I know. When we divvied into his the plane crash and the way. And,
yeah.
And some of the funniest stuff was between him and Sage. Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to tell. Don't tell.
You definitely got to listen. If you're a big fan of Sage Kimsey. You're a big fan of Lexus or the Bloomers or whatever.
It is fun. Whether you are or not, you're going to love drama, like a dad
and someone dating his daughter, then you got to take a listen to that episode.
It was great. And then, of course, we dive right off into Clint, old brown hat.
Whoa, man. You know, Clint, first of all, we start off with asking him a question, and he goes, well, that's a dumb question. And I was like, oh, man, we're in trouble right now.
Hit him, not me. Hit him.
I was like, oh, we're in trouble now because Clint's already calling us out. But it ended up being one of those fun interviews.
It was. I had no idea that, the relationship he has with Vegas. I mean, when you hear it, it's deep.
Going back to the Gongs again, going back to the Binions, et cetera, et cetera. You got to listen to it. Clint's connected to Vegas in a way that, hell, I'm not even connected to Vegas.
Right. You learned about Bronc saddles too, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're going to be a Bronc rider. We're going to keep on. You're going to be able to ride Bronx.
Yeah, out of all the stock, it seems the safest.
Absolutely.
Once you learn.
Yeah, right.
Once you learn.
Yes.
You'd have to have me all padded up like one of those sumo dudes, right?
Yeah. You look like a Michelin tire man.
Yeah, but Cooper, you only go whatever, out tire, the front
whatever.
Or yes. out the back.
Yes, exactly.
There's a better eject on that rust-off animal.
Oh, my gosh. That's so true. These guys, they were amazing. They were so amazing to talk to.
Well, and then the last day, right? The last day.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so one
the
of
goat.
The yeah, and I there's two guys on there that one was about as cool, calm as a ninja samurai, whatever you want to say, like just unbelievable. But first, we brought on a guy that is pretty polarizing when it comes to the rodeo business.
He tells you.
I could tell that there was topics that he wanted to entertain and he got away because he's a guy that has a lot on his mind and a lot he wants to share all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if he could do it all at once, he would do it. Donnie Gay, right?
The goat, man.
Yeah. The thing that was fascinating about me about Donnie was, once again, guy that works in this business, I'm not devouring it every day as a fan.
Right.
But at one point a few years ago on our social media, all of a sudden, you get all these private messages, where's Donnie Gay?
Where's Donnie Gay at?
People are like, well, you should pay attention to the TV broadcast. Well, we're doing the event. So, like, there's a lot that we focus on internally what's going on. So we don't pay attention to that stuff. So if you can go through a whole 10-day run of where is Donnie Gay, and you're like, what the heck is going on with Donnie Gay? Well, then you ask the question. You're like, okay, well, he's not doing TV anymore. Well, that has carried on for the past few years of where is Donnie Gay?
It is. And nothing and against the answer, guys right? that are doing it. I mean, but and the funniest thing about that, and Joe and I even related to this, I can't stand that. If I've heard that one time, I can't stand that little Donnie Gay. I wish that little Aunt Blank would go away. I'm so tired of hearing about him. I'm so sick about the way he ridicules and talks about him. Where's Donnie? Where's Donnie Gay at? We miss Donnie Gay. Can y'all bring back Donnie Gay? I guarantee you there was 10,000 people asked, can y'all bring back Donnie Gay?
That episode was highly downloaded.
I know.
Well, we also did a post just kind of joking around of like, where is Donnie Gay?
Yeah, the shirt.
That thing raised like, That reached like 200,000 people.
I know.
So clearly, Donnie Gay is something to rodeo, right? Whether it be,
I'm not ready for him to come back because I like streaming it out.
I think this mystery is like even better, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is where is Donnie Gay thing. But then we close out this entire run with the gentleman that, well, first of all, he sat there during the whole interview, laying on the couch, sleeping.
Taking a nap.
Right?
Yeah, he did.
And he's doing the NFR that night.
Yeah, because he's probably been working out, and I've had the joy of working with him this winter a good bit, too.
Who is this guy? This is your buddy, man.
He's another goat, Dusty Tuckness.
Yeah.
Wow. You know why I like him? Because I have more hair. I actually have more hair than both of y'all, and I'm old.
Yeah.
Dusty.
But we're prettier.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think that. Not for radio. Quit it.
I got a face for podcasts.
Yes. Dusty. From when you hear how the science of how he breaks this down, and I was very lucky to work the national finals with him his second year, and the way that he has changed and he adapts so much with other bullfighters. Like, of course, Dusty's the one right now. It's Dusty and probably Webster and one other every year they bring a new. Because, I mean, they're just a great thing. And we were laughing about it. I did an event a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I was in the blender with them. I have the video of me getting in the blender. They call it the blender.
Yeah.
And they've developed this on these bulls to where at no point does a bull not see a bullet fighter. You know, and there's no way to run over him. I mean, it's going to happen to every, I'm not going to say every, but they have really cut the odds down on getting run over now with this blender and the way they work. And you work with them and you get in that blender and you make rounds.
Yep.
And it's different from maybe the way Smets and them did. And I'm certainly not wrong.
Because they were breaking the mold back then. These absolutely. Guys, they're going what Smets created.
And exactly. And they take a part of that. That's what's so mm-hmm. good. They take a part of those old guys, Joe Baumgartner and those guys, you know, Daryl, Miles, all those guys.
Yeah.
And they've developed this way to fight bulls and they're not getting hooked.
Nope.
They're not flying through the air. I mean, sometimes, but it is such a pleasure now, not even at the Wrangler National Finals. It is such a pleasure to work with those guys in that barrel because they keep me safe. Yep. I get to keep them safe. They're appreciative of you working the barrel with it, you know, and being in the barrel. And they're also, they're just good guys and they're pranksters and they, you know, and like this year we got Big Country in there. Evan Allard, he came in and they just kind of took him under their wing and just, I mean, it, this year's NFR and we were talking to him.
Oh, that run was great, man. Yeah, well, remember we also talked about that Thursday night, the bull riding night and how crazy that was for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how good it was. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean some of the things that got ridden there were amazing. Yeah.
But the other part about Dusty was that he was part of the old guard and now the new guard.
Yes.
And kind of the conversation about how much, and I think this is kind of a theme that comes up a lot last year on a lot of the episodes, was what the internet has done for the rodeo.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, no one would have ever been able to see BFO and the crazy stuff that they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's not just protection. It is entertaining. But then you meet a guy like Dusty and you think like, and I think we brought this up, like, oh, dude, I thought you were going to be wild and crazy. Like, Smets was like,
yeah, he's
don't give him energy drinks. He's a caffeine breaker. Nothing.
No,
but for Dusty, you might need to give him some caffeine to get him up. Yeah, right.
But that's Dusty all the time.
It's crazy.
I'll say, hey, Dusty, come on, let's go ski. Let's go do. Yeah, you know, okay, that's the way he is. Yeah.
But then you go out there with bulls, and I gotta add something. So
much fun to be around.
Well, I had a friend that listened. You know, he's not a rodeo guy, and he took a listen to the podcast. And one of the questions he asked, he's like, "Let me get this straight." There's bullfighters. So there is human beings that, like, they work with bulls after they're very mad and whatever they're doing. Yeah,
they just bucked a guy off.
Like, yeah, man. Yeah, they basically direct the bull out of the arena. Like, how do they do that? I'm like, well, you got to watch it because I can't tell
you. Yeah, it's impossible to explain to
you, but you got to watch it. And then once you see it, you'll have a lot of respect for those guys, and you'll understand why. Because I think we talked about how maybe Sage buys all those guys gold watches, right?
Yeah, they just like a lineman. Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, you know what? It's up to, as being one of them, I guess, if you want to say, you know, yeah. I'm in a different, my job's to protect them, but to watch them, it's no different than a lineman. And their next bull or their career depends on how good that the bullfighters do.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and my job and as a barrel man, and that's why I love to do it with those kind of guys, is they are so good at it that you don't have to do it every time. But when you do make a save, it's a rough, you know what I mean? It'll make you famous. Let's just say you know?
If they make a mistake, some bad things can happen quick.
You got to be a machine. That's what Rob said. They expect you to be a machine, you know?
And they don't think twice. Well, that was it, right? That was what we did for 10 days.
That was it? No, we just talked to every pillar of the rodeo world.
But listen, you know, you're listening. I would highly suggest you go check out these episodes if you haven't already or go back and listen. I mean, like, just if you love rodeo, I'm pretty sure we covered a lot of ground with those people. I mean, we really did. I mean, and they all live this business.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really end-capped what we did in 2019 for this Center for
100%. Extra.
And really where we're catapulting this thing into 2020, obviously the first episode kicking things off. But yeah, there's a lot more to go. We got a lot more stories. Yeah,
and we're going to divvy into some different stuff. Yeah. You know, we're going to have some, I don't want to say town hall meetings, but it's similar to that for some stuff, some industry stuff, some controversial issues are going to come up, you know, this year and, you know, with, I don't want to give anything away, but there's some stuff that has to be discussed in our business, and we're going to hit it head on.
Our tagline is all dirt, all rodeo, all year.
All year, yeah.
So
all dirt, all rodeo, all year. How about that? That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. But it is. That was fantastic. But it is what we're going to be doing this year. And it won't be like last year. It'll be, I don't want to say better because I don't know what that is. Right.
Right.
But there's, I think, not at the end of the day, we're just going to
more involved.
Yeah. Well, and we're just, the whole goal, as we said, this is to create that conversation from now to the NFR.
Looking for tickets to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo? StubHub is the official secondary and fan-to-fan site of the rodeo. Fans can buy and sell their tickets through a safe and secure online marketplace. Visit nfrexperience.com.
Thanks for listening to the NFR Extra podcast, and make sure to give us a rating and review on wherever you listen to NFR Extra. For more information regarding the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, visit nfrexperience.com and follow Las Vegas NFR on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube.
NFR Extra.
All dirt.
All rodeo.
All year. Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the rovers and the racers and the bulls and the browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight wranglers and the cowboy hats.